We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
Alrighty. Well, it's the international break, so we actually have a bit of respite from talking about football, if you so wish it.
Thank God. I always thought about this podcast, we talk about football far too much.
It's true. And Jack Charlton far too little.
That is true, yeah. We really fucked his legacy.
And I say that being him being the Irish international manager, and we just, every international game, we're just like, fuck it. Not bothered.
When it's, I didn't even watch it, if I'm honest.
No, sure, it wasn't even on telly.
Nah.
Oh, was it not? I didn't even try and watch it.
I watched it back, and it did look like it gave a good game of it, but it was like a real strict back Belgium team.
Did you say Jack Charlton is Ireland manager at the start?
It was, like, you know, he was okay. The international Irish
I thought
manager.
You said he, Jack Charlton, the international manager for Ireland. I was like, what?
You're having a stroke?
Am I having a stroke? Am I in 1994?
Well, maybe he's got his, you know, his hands over Kenny's shoulders now from heaven. So it could be.
I remember when he died, how we barely mentioned it, like, and he's our fucking theme song.
We did. Yeah. We did mention it though, but we left it to like the very end. Of
I know.
The podcast.
Yeah.
Threw it in at the end.
Look, we take.
It's like what? Sorry, you go.
I was going to say, like, yeah, like we just milked, you know, what we could from Jack Charlton. Really, it has been like 20 odd years now.
But like, we didn't see that team play. That's the thing. Like, what are we meant to say about the Jack Charlton era? I was 3. You know.
Yeah, we only know it through reading in the years.
Yeah, really. We should rebrand so to something a modern manager has said. What does Kenny say? Trust the
process.
Project.
Yeah.
Trust the process, cast. Not the same. Not the same.
The TTIP cast. TTIP. Oh shit.
Yeah, I'm just a bit disappointed that we never took advantage of the COVID payment scheme with our name. As a real opportunity to get in the Google searches.
Fuck, I just realized, yeah, there's probably people who might have listened to this thinking it was about the COVID unemployment payment, and they're like 50 episodes of it. Like, they're still waiting for us to start.
Yeah, if you're still listening, it's gone. You lost your chance. We're sorry.
That's it.
Sorry for
wasting
your time.
Some poor fucker in Offaly desperately trying to figure out how he can apply for it. And he turns on to hear Adrian think that Karl Marx is the Stockport County goalkeeper. Sorry, buddy, for living in Offaly and also for the content that misled you.
It's like, geez, they just keep talking about ghosts.
I could talk about ghosts all day. Don't try and stop me.
Mm.
Oh, well, I did have a ghostly. I did have a paranormal experience recently.
Right.
I'll try. Well, I don't think I did either, but I'll try and explain it as quickly as I can. Basically, there was, I don't know, have you ever seen a drum kit? And like, what?
Yeah.
I know what? I know you know, guys know what drum is. But, you know, like the cymbals on a drum kit are on a certain kind of stand. It's like a metal stand with 3 legs at the bottom, like a tripod kind of idea.
Yeah.
But it's made of metal, but the bottom, at the end of the legs is rubber. So there was basically a part of a drum. I think it was bongos or something, right? And I was in a room and I was just teaching away and I was talking to someone, and behind his head were a set of bongos on one of these stands. And all of a sudden, now, he was nowhere near. He was, like, it's not like he was a foot away. He was about 3 or 4 feet away from these bongos, and he was sat in a chair, not moving, this guy I was teaching. And I was looking at him, and right behind him, I saw the bongos literally shake, like, move from side to side 2 or 3 times. Just go, do-do-do, like that. Like, I know I can't show you, but they literally moved a few inches side to side, as if someone had, like, brushed past them or, like, bumped them or something.
Was this not the ending of Beetlejuice?
I don't know. I've never seen Beetlejuice.
They start playing the fucking bongos or something in that.
Well, and so I stopped and I looked, because I was looking at him, but I saw it behind him move. And I stopped and I was like, did you do something? And he was like, I just heard something behind me. And I was like, I went over to check and it wasn't on an uneven surface. The three legs were flat on the floor. Now, the only thing I can think of is that maybe it was warm and the metal expanded and the rubber got stuck and it just kind of popped. You know, the legs were trying to expand. But I swear to God, like, whenever someone tells me these kind of stories of they see or hear or experience something, they're always asleep or they're tired or they're drunk, right? I was none of those three. I was absolutely lucid and I saw something move with nothing touching it. And I've never, never experienced it before. Now, I've tried to put it logically, but I've spoken to drummers and they're like, I've never heard of that happening. That's I've never experienced.
Bongos aren't supposed to do that.
Yeah. No, they're not. Like, that's the otherwise concerts all over the world would see bongos shake spontaneously. So I'm a little more on the ghost side than on the non-ghost side.
Was it just the two of you in the room?
Yes.
Or so you think.
Do you trust him? Do you trust the person you're in the room with?
Yeah.
Is that person maybe like a Derek Acora type? Maybe he wants to convince you.
I don't know. Like, but I was in there for about 3 hours before anything. So it's not like I turned up and turned the heating on and, you know, all this kind of shit and there was loads of movement. It was like I was in that room for about 3 hours and nothing happened. And then I'm teaching this guy and right behind his head, I saw something move. It's like... To this day, I actually don't want to talk about it too much more because it's freaking me out. Because I'm like, it was just the heat. It was just metal expanding and that's what happened. But they wouldn't be made that way. Like, it's just, it freaks me out.
Like, so it's like when, you know, people say that they see like mugs or glasses fall off the side or out the cupboard and stuff like that. You know, there could be many reasons. Physics behind it, but still makes you a little bit uneasy.
Usually it's cats.
Yeah. It could have been the spirit of Jack Charlton saying, you're not doing enough references to me in your podcast, Adrian. And that was his little subtle sign to say, you go and you put him under pressure, son.
I think if Jack Charlton's ghost is going around, he's got much better things to do than try and get back at me for not referencing him in the podcast.
And he also wouldn't use the bongos to do it, though.
How do you know? Like, maybe that was his like pastime. You know, everyone has like a.
Or he's found a new hobby since he's been dead.
He can't do much fishing in like heaven, right?
A lot of free time.
Yeah.
All ghosts can do is like bang things. You'd wonder if a ghost they'd just be thinking, I don't know, is this really the suitable instrument to use to try to spook people? Like, I wish there was like an old chime around or something, but all I have is bongos. Like, bum, ba-dum, bum, ba-dum, bum, bum, bum.
So I should clarify: no one played the bongos. Okay, oh, yeah. I know I said du-du-dum, but that was the sound of the legs like on the floor wobbling or something. It was like, but they
someone
moved.
Knocked them.
It's like someone knocked them, and the three legs like went tap 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 on the floor, and I saw them move 2 or 3 inches each side. And then they stopped. I was like, what the fuck? But obviously I was busy, so I couldn't go investigate. I had to just be like, that's okay. It's just the wind, but there was no wind. So
you were busy doing what again?
I was working. I was teaching.
It's freaking the kids out, be like, stop everything. I've seen a ghoul.
Not get the fuck out of here.
I've seen a fucking ghost. But I can't really stop the lesson.
Well, pretty much. I mean, you got a job to do, you know?
Well, not very if you've seen fucking proof of supernatural, I'd be like.
But you see, I was
let's
like.
Let's just pause for a second.
I was like, it's probably just Because I said, did you hear that? And he said, yeah, yeah. And I just had a quick walk around. And I was like, oh, just keep doing what you're doing. And I had a quick walk around just to make sure there was like no fucking rodent like chewing the end of it or something. And I was like, I'll come back to it later and I'll check it out. And I came back at the end of the day and I was like, there's nothing weird here. That's not, there's no crack in the floor that it's after falling in or there's nothing. And I was like, demons?
Ghosts? This fellow went home that night and at home they were like, oh, how was the music lesson? And he was like, the instructor thought a ghost was playing the bongos, so I don't think I'll be going back.
He has been missing for a few weeks, yeah. That's what it is.
Oh,
I've lost maybe, all credibility.
Maybe the ghoul got him.
Yep.
And you're next.
Clocked him over the head with a bongo.
Listen, like, ultimately, he just got some time out of his lesson. Imagine if you were in school and your teacher just stopped teaching you for 5 minutes and was like, I think I've seen a ghost. You'd be like, okay, see as many ghosts as you want.
Oh, my God, yeah. You'd be making noises for the rest of the year. Little, like, yeah shoving desks, putting, tying, like, fishing string to a chair and moving it around.
Yeah.
Well, I'm convinced.
So, I'm slightly more on the paranormal side now. Slightly. I'm still not there, but slightly.
We should probably organize with the weather getting better. Like a seance. Ghost walk. Yeah.
Seance.
a live seance with the podcast.
Contact Jack Charlton.
Yes.
What a guess that would be.
My mother told me that if I ever did a Ouija board, I wouldn't be allowed back in the house. And my mother doesn't even believe in God. But she was like, why risk it?
That!
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, true. Fair.
Wouldn't be allowed. Imagine the three of us with our fingers on a glass and it goes, P, U,
yeah,
P, E, M. Put it under pressure. A very long way of spelling it.
I think I'm a bit thick or something because when I see loads of letters jumbled up, I can't read it properly. Maybe I'm a bit dyslexic or something, but like put them under pressure without any spaces, I'd be like, poot what?
Poot. I think that is. Well, there's various ranges of dyslexia, isn't there? Like numerical and letters too. So
I can't understand when people spell out words out loud. Like if someone, obviously I can read and write, but if someone spells out like more than four letters, my mind just shuts down. Like I can't picture a word if they spell it out loud. I have to see the letters. I can't. I see nothing. I have to be like, no, stop. Like if you're on the phone and someone's like spelling out their name to you or something like that.
Like, yeah, exactly.
I can't do it. It's a total mental block for me anytime that happens.
And I used to suck in school because they'd get you to stand up in a spelling test and they'd be like, spell dinosaur. And I'd be like, D-I-N, wait, hang on. And they'd be like, oh, fuck me. You don't know it. And I could write it, but I can't read it. I also, you know when people say, I got two words for you, suck it. And then they're like, I got four words for you, blah, 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 blah. Or like, I got six words for you. I'm like, how do you know how many words are in the sentence you're about to say? I can't fucking...
How many people are threatening you like that, Adrian?
It was just the first one that came to mind.
So you live backstage at Raw 1999. Fucking rogue dog.
Kevin Nash died recently, didn't he?
Scott Hall.
Scott Hall.
Sorry.
The lesser known, lesser impressive one.
Yeah. Close. Yeah,
well, I guess. I'd say they're both fairly similar.
His first character was Razor Ramon, which was meant to be, I think, like a suave Italian man or something.
I think it was more like Scarface.
Was it? He had like the little curly bit at the front and he
I know, but I think it was a bit more Scarface. Like, he'd be like, "Hey, Chico," that kind of thing. And he'd call himself the bad guy, which Al Pacino says in Scarface and stuff like that.
Yeah. To be honest, you cut out there and I have no clue what you said.
Did I?
Yeah, it cut to me too. Yeah.
But you're okay. Recording, so everyone else heard it, so it's no big deal.
All right.
Do you want to repeat it?
Okay. Well, he'd say like Chico and stuff, and he'd also say he'd call himself the bad guy, which Tony Montana or Al Pacino says in Scarface. He's like, "Say goodnight to the bad guy."
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's probably what it was. But then he had this accent, and then he just dropped it when he became Kevin Nash. So it's kind of stupid. Oh, fucking, yeah!
Sorry. Yeah, Scott Hall. I've started all this.
Yeah. But the same thing happened with, there's a guy there, Kofi Kingston now, and he was meant to be Jamaican. And
yeah.
He had this Jamaican accent for like 4 years, and then he just came out and did a promo without the accent. It's so fucking stupid, like.
I know.
But how did we ever like wrestling, lads? What were we thinking?
I know.
Well, there's many reasons why. I saw like Triple H retired recently too, and like the list of some of the extreme heel things he did was pretty extreme. Like, fucked a dead body.
Yeah.
For one, yeah,
that was a bad one.
That was probably the worst storyline they ever did, really.
Yeah, like necrophilia. Jeez, you're talking about scraping the barrel for ideas here. It's like, what can we do to shock the audience?
Do you remember when Vince McMahon said the N-word backstage?
Yeah.
Like, not like by accident or something, which I don't know if that's even better or worse, but that he, as the boss of the whole company, thought it would be funny to walk around and say that. TV, like, that guy is fucking spastic.
There's
am I allowed to say spastic?
You're just as bad as him.
But I'm not the boss.
You just got promoted.
Bless. All right, you're fired anyway.
Yeah. Pretty wild.
Great decision, boss.
Yeah.
Fuck. All right, well. Good luck with the fucking bongos.
Yeah. Triple H, his life is kind of crazy, or his career is a bit crazy, because it was in a storyline that he would start dating Stephanie McMahon. And that's what then happened in real life or whatever. Like, she was going out with Test, I think, at the time. So Test was like in line to inherit the company, I guess. He's like the heir to the throne because he's married or in a relationship with Stephanie. And then Triple H is like, let's do this storyline where like I kidnap Stephanie and force her to marry me or whatever, and then you can try to get her back. It'll be a great story. And Tess was like, yeah, sounds like a good idea. And they actually end up together, and Tess dies a few years later then.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Of a broken heart.
Jesus.
Wrestling is fucking grim. Like, they all just die really early.
They all do, yeah.
They're fucking taking everything under the sun, including like painkillers, drugs, alcohol, and they're jacked up, so their blood pressure is like
fucking
like high. I don't know how to measure blood pressure. So yeah, they all die when they're fucking like 50.
Pretty mad. And even when you think that for probably our entire generation of knowing The Undertaker, he's been plagued by crippling injuries.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a very long time. But even when you heard like his kind of start in wrestling, like you had to like, it's all big like nepotism and cronyism. Like you had to kind of know a guy that would get you on this like the circuit.
Mm-hmm.
But they treat you like absolute dog shit.
Yeah.
Just as like a initiation. But like these were less young lads beefed up that probably came from like, well, I think Undertaker was like basketball, college basketball, I think, but like from like, you know, basketball, American football, baseball, and then just like break them down, beat them up, and then send him on like a 365 day a year circus, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Grim.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the way like superheroes, they wear tights or like, you know, spandex outfits, or at least they used to.
Yeah.
Nowadays they have just CGI robo armor or whatever. But I think that comes from, like, pro wrestling comes from traveling fairs. Like, these were sideshow attractions in these carnivals that would travel around, and like the strong man or like the wrestlers, they would wear spandex. So like they were, like, superheroes were kind of based on the outfits that wrestlers and strongmen at fairs wore. So that's why Batman has, like, blue underpants over his trousers and things, looking like a total fucking gimp.
Hmm. There you go. What really pisses me off about the wrestling is, like, so we used to watch it when we were kids because it's kind of cool as a kid, right? Especially when they're doing crazy shit like...
Yeah, when we were growing up, Austin and Rock, it was really cool.
Like, yeah.
They made it seem really cool.
But even now, like, this is the thing. We had guys like Stone Cold, The Rock, Triple H, Kane, Undertaker. Now, I'm not even talking about who they were. I'm talking about the actual, even the names, right?
Yeah.
Stone Cold, The Rock. Now the guys are called, I was actually looking up names, Dolph Ziggler,
I know.
Drew McIntyre, Daniel Bryan. They're all just normal people. Or they're all just normal people's names. Like,
they have names that are shortened just to one word and not even a good word, like Kane. They'd have names like Otis or like...
Yeah, or the Big
Gable. Yeah.
So crap. But they've marketed it now for children. But they've actually gone more away from, like, the kind of superhero, like, wrestlers in that time were nearly superheroes. Like, they had a superhero nickname and they did superhero shit. And now they're just like John Smith walking down to the ring. It's like, kids don't give a fuck about John Smith. They want to hear about, you know, the cowboy.
Yeah.
Or like the psychopath or something. Not Tim Johnson.
I was reading somewhere too, and I will misquote it, I guess, but you can kind of nearly pinpoint, like, the massive change in wrestling and its popularity. Obviously they did try to make it more PG-13 and then just, you know, universal for everyone, but one of the real big, like, catalysts for how massive wrestling got was not only, like, the fact that there was just this crazy roster of amazing wrestlers with just, you know, they look cool and they were a bit psychopathic, so you could kind of, like, throw them off of shit, whereas people are a little bit less likely to do the Mankind on it. But was also, like, the music. At the time of, like, the Attitude Era, it was paired with, like, hard rock or, like, nu metal, which was, like, really on the rise. And a lot of bands became popular at that era from nothing, through and with wrestling. So it had, like, an amalgamation of two fan bases, and then they kind of changed it and you don't really hear it as much. It's more like, I don't know, I wouldn't even say, like, they changed to more, like, I don't know, rap music, but it was more like even just very general radio friendly rap music, which doesn't really have the same appeal. Like, you know, when you heard, I don't know, The Undertaker come out to Limp Bizkit, you were like, yeah, this is... As a teenager, like, fuck yeah, this is badass. This is, he's on a motorbike too. It's like, I don't know, radio rap with a fella like John Smith walking to the ring with very little appeal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the argument.
I also think, funnily enough, the internet probably killed wrestling in a way, because, like, spoilers and everything became a really big thing. Like, I mean, in sports, you can't really have spoilers and football because we don't know what's going to happen, whereas there
we do.
Man City within the league,
we think we do but, like, you know, you can just look up what's going to happen at wrestling. Like, they already know, like, what stars are signed with what place, and, like, oh, this person got injured so they're not going to win the title. So, you know, I think the internet kind of killed it. It really coincides with that kind of early 2000s, mid-2000s, when internet blew up. that everything went to pot.
True. Long gone are the days of like waiting an entire week for the next thing of Raw. Now with YouTube and content and stuff, it's like it's made bite size, and then there's like extra behind the scenes stuff. It's just it's very accessible too. It's not as mysterious.
True. Yeah, that's a good point as well.
I remember like they'd promote pay-per-views on like the TV show. And of course, we'd never get the pay-per-view. So I would only just see the build-up and the aftermath on these like programs. But very often, the showings for us here were like weeks out of date for like the pay-per-view. So then the magazine, like WWF magazine or whatever, I'd go to news agents and I'd be able to read the results of a pay-per-view that in the world of on the TV was a month away.
Yeah, I remember that. It was always like a month delay. Yeah. Jeez. And you could see, you'd see the pictures, wouldn't you? They'd have like each matchup with like five or six pictures of what happened, like the beginning and the end. So it was kind of, it's already done.
Mm-hmm.
They were good magazines. Lots of posters.
Yeah.
And lots of titties.
Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Sorry, you were more subtle than me.
Lots of titties.
But even, I think even when I was like that age, sure, 2001, I was like 10. So I was like probably still a bit too young to really understand why I liked the look of Trish Stratus so much. You know, I was probably like, I really like her titties, but I don't know what that means.
Yeah, and she was the worst of them, you know. I thought she was a bit plastic, bit Dolly Parton.
10-year-old Kieran is like, no, you're too done up for me, hun, thanks.
Yeah, I have that's it. We'll do one of those Sky Sports Saturday social tier lists.
Oh my god, we should absolutely do that.
WWF Divas,
the noughties WWF Divas, 100%.
Well, Trish's E tier.
No, bollocks. Jacqueline was E tier. And Bush. Fucking Ivory or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
And this is Stacey Keibler. She was.
Yeah.
She used to date George Clooney, I think.
Really?
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was going with someone in. So they were all connected. Mingled.
Who was?
I was gonna say I was gonna say she was dating a wrestler too, but sure, they all were.
Oh yes. Yeah.
They're all intertwined.
Did she date Test as well, I think?
I think so, yeah.
He left Test. A few good ones go, didn't he?
Test lived a good life before he
let himself go.
Sorry, saw himself out.
Saw himself out. I really liked him at the time. Especially once he cut his fucking hair, even though it just made him look more generic, and the back knee on him because of all the roids. If the camera went too close to him, you'd just see his back was like the fucking surface of the moon. It was crazy. Really? Yeah, it was horrendous.
And he went away for a while, and he came back like shredded.
Yeah,
I'd say.
Yeah.
Like you said, roided to fuck. Like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. Did he die of heart failure or was it?
I think he did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's usually either heart failure or like
painkillers or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or suicide.
Yeah. Or
Eddie Guerrero's another one who got juiced to the fucking gills and then died.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing, because they're on painkiller and booze.
Yeah.
For 20, 30 years. And like overextending themselves 5 nights a week, then, you know, it's amazing that some of them are still around, really.
Yeah,
it's
that's
incredible.
It.
Yeah,
like the Undertaker's, like I was saying, like his Undertaker's knees stopped him from playing college fucking basketball. That was like 40 years ago.
Yeah, I'd say if you saw the Undertaker now walking down the street, I'd say he'd look like a really battered up old man. When they're in the ring and there's adrenaline going and there's thousands of people screaming at you, you can probably throw yourself about a bit. But I'd say if you saw The Undertaker sitting up from a couch, you'd understand.
He had the best fucking character going for him, because he, for his character to be The Undertaker, he has to not show any emotion, be very, very stiff, and just walk around slowly, do things very slowly, and like show no pain or whatever. Like he like walks straight through things, so he doesn't really have to do much of anything, and he's also bigger than most people, so he just lifts them up and throws them down. Sure, you could do that for 30 years without knees. That's why it took him so long to do his entrances every time. Gong. Half the match was fucking walking to the ring. And he was dead. He was dead right to do it, because people loved it. That's, you hit the fucking jackpot when people love you slowly walking to the ring for about 5 or 10 minutes. Because you can just, you can live off that for so long. And he did. And then have a match once a year.
He's basically just like a civil servant. It's just like, do it for as slowly and as long as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can have the choke slam as your finisher, you can do that till you're 90.
Exactly, because you're not landing on any part of yourself.
If you're doing a fucking elbow drop as your finisher, good luck.
Like, or the leg drop, like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, even the Stone Cold Stunner, fucking hell.
Like, I know.
I meant an elbow drop from like the top rope. Like, yeah. I mean, fucking Chris Benoit, no wonder what happened to him. One of his finishers was a diving headbutt. Like, fuck's sake.
The signs were there.
How did we not realize that that would end badly? Led pummeling his head 5 nights a week into a mat. Like, Christ. Vince McMahon has a lot of blood on his hands.
Oh yeah,
a lot of money in it too, which is what he was all he worries about.
That's fucking crazy. Saudis as well now, giving him hundreds of million every year.
The American Dream, though, right?
Yeah.
If we want to do any football, I'll have hot takes every week. So if you want to do some hot takes, we can do a bit at the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hot takes are always good.
Red hot. Well, some of them are lukewarm, but whatever.
That's all right. That's okay. I wanted to ask you both something, actually. So in this wonderful international break, I noticed that the Premier League are plugging. You probably saw my post earlier, because Palace were in the semi-finals for it. But like the eSports League, the e-Premier League, basically that's playing FIFA, representing the 20 teams in the Premier League in like some knockout competition. But I noticed from a lot of the, like on Twitter, Facebook, on like even just the YouTube videos too, so many people being like, you know, this is not a sport, this is sad, all the usual insults. But where do you guys stand on like online, like professional gaming or esports?
I was thinking about this today, because when you sent that on, I remember how when I was like 13 14, there was, when we first got Sky, there was a channel called xleague.tv on it, which did, I guess, the early esport, which was like showing people playing FIFA against each other and putting it on TV. And I loved it. I thought it was so great. And I wish it was more popular. I was like, this is the future. This is what people are going to be tuning into. And this is where we're going to be watching, like, you know, there's going to be a million people watching people play FIFA soon. And then the channel went bust, got canceled because no one was watching it. And I was like, well, I guess I was wrong. No one really wants to watch video games. And I'd say, like, whatever. 7 or 8 years go by, and I just feel like, yeah, it's not going to be a thing, because it was a thing for a little bit. People didn't like it, they got bored, and they moved on. And then obviously it is what it is today, which is like a pretty big deal. But for some reason, in that gap between xleague.tv and actual modern streaming, I guess, online, I completely lost interest in seeing it. I guess in my mind it was like, it's just like not a thing. It's just, you know, I have no interest in watching it, competitive esports like that. But I did once, so I understand why people might, you know, if I was growing up today, where like there would be no collapse of this scene where it's like going bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger. I'd probably be mad into it, but as I am today, there's nothing I want to do less than watch people play, you know, League of Legends or whatever, FIFA against each other. And especially because from what I've seen with the community and the people who play it are fucking idiots. Although you could say that about real sport as well, but to me, real sport matters and esports don't.
Mm-hmm. I think I quite like watching streamers and stuff. Certain streamers, I think, can be quite fun. Or watching a playthrough of a game that I probably was just never going to play just to see what it's like. I actually get a bit of a kick out of that. Even watching people play Call of Duty and stuff, that can be kind of fun. But they are trying to like basically throw a jersey on these random guys who we've never seen or heard from and just say, they're now representing your club in this game of FIFA. So like, it's not a streamer that you've been following or that you've come across and been like, oh, they're quite funny. It's just this random guy and he's just playing FIFA. He's not trying to entertain. Like most streamers are trying to like have a bit of fun. It's just these guys playing FIFA. Why don't I just go play FIFA and say that I'm representing Liverpool at the same time? I'd have much more fun.
Yeah, it's fair points. I think the other thing that was striking to me too is the people making the comments, the same ones that comment under absolutely everything. I just complain, you know, when there's women's football being promoted by Sky Sports, oh, who'd want to watch that? Well, there's clearly people that do, so do one. But the other thing is too, is that maybe it's different for other games, but probably not. But definitely for the sports games, they all have the same teams because there's so many like overpowered cards and players in Ultimate Team and formations. That they, I was watching it for about 20 minutes and I was just like, nah, this, it just was very much like deadlock between the two. And that's very much what my memory of FIFA Ultimate Team was, is that, okay, if you didn't have this certain player in these certain positions, like you were just going to get smashed by the game, not by the player, just the game is going to be against you. The other thing is that whether you enjoy it or not, they seem to be getting serious cash for it. Like the quarterfinalists each got 15 grand. So that's not a, you know, that's nothing to turn your nose up at for essentially playing Xbox a lot.
They're probably getting scammed if they're getting paid that, because whoever's running it is probably making 10 times that.
Yeah, it's true. And
like every fucking sport where it's like the owners make the vast majority of things. You know, I think another reason I don't like streaming or competitive streaming like that is I would say around 2008, I started losing interest in games in general, most games. Like I wouldn't, like a few years after that, I would have always had PlayStations, whatever, Xbox, and play games a ton. And then for a few years, I just completely lost interest in the whole thing, the whole scene, which I had previously would be obsessed with, because I felt like the big games were all going in a direction towards being a sport rather than being, I don't know how to say it, like an art, which is strange. Because like when I think back to like 2007, the big games, even the big multiplayer games like Halo and Call of Duty 4, to me, first and foremost, were like single player games. And that's like, I'd always played online, but single player always mattered most. And what the games were doing was more interesting. And they would try to tell different stories and they would do different techniques to make, you know, they were like a bit more like movies in a different form. Like they were that kind of art form. And then after multiplayer games started becoming the de facto kind of mode, the big money maker was online multiplayer, competitive multiplayer, whatever, selling skins to like children, you know, to get like different outfits for your online character and stuff like that. When it started trending towards that, the big AAA budget games, very, very few of them are like single player, narrative, arty focused. They're more they're all like Call of Duty, which is, and FIFA, and which were big back then too, but now they're like, they dominate, like Overwatch, Fortnite, all these, the biggest games are all multiplayer, competitive, pew pew shooting kind of.
Pay to win.
Yeah. Like, whereas, and there's very, very few big games which are like, I would think like Red Dead Redemption 2 is like an exception. Like, Red Dead Redemption 2, you could compare that to like a movie, a great movie. Like, it's at that kind of art. Whereas, like, the newest Call of Duty is, I mean, they're fun. I mean, I've played them, I have no problem with them, but like, they've sucked all the energy in the industry towards that side of things. And all the big games are now all focused on like squeezing players for money in microtransactions and multiplayer things, rather than being kind of pushing the envelope creatively with, like, I felt like movies were going to overtake games, games were going to overtake movies as like the main art form or whatever, like the big, like the thing that the great artists go into, they would make games. But it changed after, I'd say, 2008, 2009. So now they're just back being like, arcade games are just games, which is fine, but they're just games rather than being anything more than that.
Yeah. Long gone. Jesus, you remember like Metal Gear Solid?
Exactly.
The cutscenes for like 20, 30 minutes.
I know.
Whereas I haven't played any of the modern ones, to be fair, but I bet they definitely have an online mode where it's like a shoot 'em up section. I think it takes from the budget. You only have to look at FIFA. Like, we poured hours and hours into like random career modes, finding out all the wonder kids and playing like 8 seasons with fucking like QPR just to see, you know, how do they turn out. Whereas now people don't buy FIFA for career mode. I know we still play it, but like, they don't buy it for career mode. They buy it so that they can get Player of the Year Messi in a different color card for the crazy amounts of money. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, mainstream gaming in general, I have next to zero interest in it, with a few exceptions. Like, when the new Elder Scrolls comes out, I'll probably be all over that. But like, now it's like only a handful of games that I'd be really interested in. That's why I don't buy consoles. I haven't bought consoles since what, the Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want any of these things. If anything I play now is like strategy games or like history games, which is weird, but like, they're the most interesting and replayable games to me, and I don't need to play online against some guy from Saskatchewan saying my mother's a whore or whatever. I can just, you know, play my games and enjoy them on my own. I can create my own enjoyment in the game rather than having to go online and play it as a sport.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad. And I suppose while we're on the subject of gaming, like, what's your all-time favorite game?
Wow.
I think the game I enjoyed the very most when I played it, and really, it was the first game I got on Xbox 360, so it was like the next gen, and it was such a step up, was Fallout 3. Mm-hmm. Fallout 3 was fucking like nothing I'd ever played. And I was really looking forward to getting it. I looked up trailers. I looked up gameplay. I was really excited. So I should have been let down, really, because I was so excited. And I was like, this is the best thing ever. And I think I put like 100 or 120 hours into playing it, which people put in multiple times that.
I know.
But as a, I suppose, as like a fucking Leaving Cert student kid, it was quite a lot.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is incredible. Like, I don't even think I'd ever, you know, you, it was always just forward and back in these like shoot 'em ups,
mm-hmm,
in PlayStation 1 and maybe even PlayStation 2. So I think it was the first time I had the X and Y axis that I was using. And I was like, this is fucking nuts. And you could just talk to anyone. You could kill anyone. You could go anywhere. You could make all these choices. I'd never experienced anything like it.
I was going to say Skyrim with mods on PC, because mods change the game. But yeah, Skyrim, for a lot of the same reason. Just the, I love Bethesda games. The way you can go anywhere, talk to people, kill people, and they stay dead. Like, it feels like it's such a deep world in all these games that I can have fun. The game can kind of create like loose scenarios for you to do, like quests or whatever, but like I can have fun. I can make my own fun in these games and be totally happy to just walk around the world of Skyrim for 100 hours and do whatever, play, you know, doing all these different things that the game lets you do that are so fun. Skyrim, Fallout, yeah, really love those games. Like, yeah. Fucking, they'd want to hurry up and release the next one, but Jesus Christ. It's been 10 years since Skyrim. More. It's been 11 years since Skyrim.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Crazy bit of business.
Yeah. Again, because we all agree with each other all the time, definitely Fallout 3 is one for me. And I don't know if you remember, Adrian, but when I played Fallout 3, it was after you, I think. You may have even given me the game. I'm not entirely sure. But I never got to complete it because it fucking glitched out at like the final... What was the name of the really big robot thing that they made?
Liberty Prime.
Yeah, you know how there's obviously like a trigger point in those games where something has to occur.
Yeah, I remember this. Bit. This was a glitch in it. I remember this. This fucked me over as well.
Yeah, same. And I just, at that point, was just like, well, I'm not going to ever finish the main story, and had hours of fun still afterwards. But yeah, the fucking gate, like, it took me, I'd say it took me a few weeks of, I wish I was that persistent as I am now in other things in my life, but I must have spent weeks trying to be like, all right, reload this and see what will I do. I'll just try this little thing, or maybe I can get around here. No. There's a glitch in the game, yeah. Like, fuck me.
Even there was a quest in that where you could destroy a whole town in the map. Remember that? Like, what a ballsy move. Like, you know, even from the developers to just be like, yeah, we're going to create all these characters and all these places and all these things. And if the character or the player wants, they can just fucking get rid of it all. Mm. All their hard work. Like,
I know.
That's brilliant.
There are so many creative and memorable moments in Fallout 3 that. I even the music, just the music and the radios alone,
is
so great, and the tone of everything. I mean, I know it's based on the previous games, but it was a huge jump. I've never played the original, like the 2D games or whatever they were, the isometric kind of top down view, but it's a huge jump from that to 3D, and they did it so well. And people are always saying with Bethesda, like, whenever you start playing a Bethesda game, when the next entry is released, a lot of people who loved the game they fell in love with hate the newest one that brings in more new fans who all love that, because they're like, oh, they've watered it down, or they've dumbed it down to appeal to more people. I see it because I started with Oblivion and then Fallout 3 and then New Vegas and Skyrim and Fallout 4. And every time people would be like, they're after dumbing it down. They're after stripping down what made the last game great. But fuck it, I think they kept getting better nearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Good honorable mention for Oblivion, actually. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Jesus, I can always remember in Oblivion when you get out of the like the tutorial and you get out and you walk out of the tomb into the open world, and there is nothing telling you where to go or what to do. Well, there is. There's like a journal, but like you walk out there and it's like, hang on, what do I do? What happens now? And it's just the music kicks in and the like do 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 do. And I just started swimming. I just jumped in the water and I was like, can I go this way? Can I go underwater? Can I go to this island in the distance? And I just swam like for an hour off into the distance, and I was waiting for the game to say go back or stop, and it didn't, and I was ended up getting killed by like a crab because I had no weapons or armor or anything, but like it was mind-blowing the sense of freedom it gives you.
Yeah, it's so good. I actually think I did Fallout 3 and then I bought Oblivion, so I probably had high expectations anyway, but again, yeah, amazing stuff. Come on, Bethesda, what's next?
Oh, Starfield. Starfield's coming out at the end of the year, I think.
Don't know anything about it, though.
I know, they're keeping it and I kinda, under wraps.
Yeah. The vibe that I'm getting off of, like, if it's going to be spacey, I'm kind of like...
Eh. I know. And it's their own thing. It's their completely original idea. I mean, I have high hopes for it. I will buy it. I'll probably play it for 100 hours, but it's got a lot to live up to be as good as the Fallout and like Elder Scrolls.
For sure.
If it's anything like them at all, I'll love it, because I love those games. If it's anything like those games, I'll love it.
Yeah. Because even Outer Worlds is kind of along that vein, but there was something about it being in space that I was just like,
yeah,
this is just, I don't know if it's stupid to say, but it's a bit too far-fetched for me. Like, you know, a nuclear fallout is possible.
On the move, yeah.
And like, I don't know, the fantasy stuff is like, ah, well, that's, you know, that's fantasy. But trying to say like, oh, it's space, but it's, I don't know. Yeah, it just lost me. I know people have been to space, so it's not a fictional idea, but...
well, we don't know that. It all have been a simulation. For the amount of hours, Football Manager, and definitely Football Manager 12, for me. You know, I know I said Fallout, that was because it was so mystifying, but in terms of longevity, Football Manager, nearly every year, and hours of time.
They're great games, yeah.
Yeah. They are, and there's a Formula One equivalent coming out this year with my recently found love of Formula One. There's more hours of my life which will be invested wisely.
Honorable mention to like Civilization and those kind of games, which I've put 1,000 hours in.
That's good.
Yeah.
Altogether, like I'd say.
Yeah.
In my life.
Per year.
Yeah.
Perfect. Adrian, you said you had some lukewarm takes for us this week.
I do.
Great.
Instead of doing a 3-2-1, I might just say, Kieran, what do you think? Because 3-2-1 doesn't work with the delay. How many do I have? I'll just go through them unless we run out of time. Right.
Okay.
By the way, I just want to clarify, I don't make these up. These are things I've either heard or seen written or come across. Because I think someone was saying that they thought I just made them up. But I don't. So don't give out to me. Harry Maguire is the worst Premier League signing ever. Kieran.
No, probably not. He's bad, but he's probably not the worst.
Can you think of a worse one?
But that's probably why they're the worst, right?
Well, I suppose when you think of the money and everything involved, I think that's probably where the argument is.
Yeah. No, it's a horrendous signing. United obviously overpaid for Harry Maguire, and he is a bit of a liability. But he can play football, because when he plays for England, he plays really well. He played for Leicester, he played all right. And there has to have been a signing in the Premier League history that was, you know, equivalent ratio money that couldn't kick a ball at all. Just we don't know them, and they were awful.
Connor, do you agree?
No. I mean, geez, even Pepe. But it's because Pepe's even worse, but because he doesn't even play, because he's worse, people don't even think of him. People have forgotten about Pepe already. And he'll quietly be ushered out the door for like peanuts now after costing 70 million or whatever. Whereas at least Maguire plays, as bad as he is, he can get into the team. Pepe got benched by a fucking 18-year-old Saka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tend to agree. He might be the worst defensive Premier League signing of all time. But maybe that's for another day.
Hmm.
All right. Frank Lampard got a raw deal as Chelsea manager. Connor.
Wow. I couldn't think of a statement I disagree with more, because if there's one fella who getting a raw deal from Chelsea, this guy should be down on his hands and knees every day of his life thanking God that he was blessed with this fucking luck, that he was handed the Chelsea job for doing nothing, did nothing with it. Horrible manager. Doesn't know his fucking arse from his elbow. He should be over in Micronesia managing the under-12s or something. He's an anti-manager. Like, he shouldn't be here. Yeah, he should be delighted he even got 5 minutes into the job before people said, hang on, he doesn't know how to do anything. And got rid of him.
Okay. And Kieran?
My specialist subject, Frank Lampard. He's making it very hard for me. Frank, you're putting me in a tough spot in this podcast. I've kept this going a few years now, and it's really, really difficult to defend you. Yeah, he did get a raw deal because Roman Abramovich, a war criminal, firstly. I mean, what kind of guidance is that? Secondly, had no resources, no transfer budget. Number three, he wears his heart on his sleeve, so handsome, and that generally goes against him in this rugged, ugly league that he has to play in. And Chelsea just don't have the bottle, most importantly. So it's like steering a car without wheels or brakes, and he got a raw deal based on the above. Thank you.
Okay. That one's put to bed, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, this one might need a bit of context, but the basic premise is Man United would never spot a player like Andy Robertson.
Cool.
Kieran, do you want to go first? Or do you want me to...
No, I think I get the context. As in, like, the scouting... Network exactly. And stuff. Yeah. I would agree. I don't think they would, just based on their signings, their recent signings. I think the setup that they have currently doesn't look for future talent. It either looks for something that they believe is already ready made, if it's young, like Jadon Sancho, or they're going for big names, Ronaldo, Varane being examples. So I think that United have such an ego that they would probably think it's below them to have a look at someone like Hull or a Scottish player that might actually be, you know, as good quality as Andy Robson.
Flynn?
Yeah, I think they could spot him. I think they probably have 100 scouts or whatever whose sole job is to do this, and probably got hired into the job because they were good scouts at other teams and they probably know what they're doing. And then they end up presenting these profiles to the management. The management's like, oh, very interesting. And then management ends up presenting these players to the top executives and the money men and saying, this is who we want. And the money men take one look at it. They're like Instagram followers or something. And it's like, no, we need Sergio Ramos or someone like that. And it's like, but Sergio Ramos is like 40 years old and he's terrible. And it's like... Well, he will help bring more exposure to the brand. So, no, we can't be seen to be picking up the little, tiny little players like Andy Robertson and that kind of thing. Yeah, it goes against their whole philosophy. So, there are people at Man United who probably are pulling their hair out every week because they're like, we know exactly what to do and how to fix this. But the people in charge don't want to hear about it.
I kind of agree with you, but they did sign players like Daniel James, didn't they? And didn't they sign another young winger last year that we've never heard from again? And they signed these players, and if you've got a coach to coach them, they should get better, and they should maybe not become Andy Robertson, but surely be getting better. But like, these guys are getting worse. So is it just... Do we just think it's down to the coaching? Do we think it's down to the board? Is the whole thing just fucked? Like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So next, Pep Guardiola will have failed at Manchester City if he doesn't win a Champions League. I fucking love this one. This one. Mm. Connor.
Yes.
Wow.
He's a great manager. He's one of the greatest managers of all time. What he does with teams and the way he gets them playing and the way he develops players and identifies players and makes players work in a system and his influence and everything is second to none. And he could not have a better setup and better opportunity and better group, better resources than he will never, he could never get that. No manager has ever had what Pep has had, which is you can have anyone you want. You can do anything you want. Go ahead. And you have years to do it. You have years and years, as much time as you want, whatever you want to do. And as great as he's been, and as well as he's got him playing, if they don't win a single European Cup, which is, I mean, it's tough to win tournament football because you lose one game and you could be out. But like, if you're the best, you've got to win the best, the biggest trophies. And yeah, it would be a failure if he doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Kieran, do you agree?
I do agree with all those points, really. Yeah. I think that what's working on Pep's side is that the City seem to have lots of patience. I'm sure he's under a little bit of pressure to deliver, but a lot of that's probably coming from himself as well. That, you know, the longer this goes on, the longer that he will probably feel for himself that he's not succeeding in what ultimately I think he was hired to do. I think anyone could win this league with City, really, the past few years anyway. So yeah, it's just the amount of time. I wouldn't say ever that, you know, if he stayed for another 5 years, didn't win the Champions League, I wouldn't say he failed, because he probably had like double digits worth of trophies in that time. But that's the price, you know, that's the big price. If Man City want to be the elite team they claim they are now, then you have to win a Champions League.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay. Just a few left. Ryan Giggs wasn't as good as his legacy suggests.
Ooh.
Ooh, white hot.
Kieran.
No, I think he was probably underrated to an extent. I mean, recent times we're only thinking of the fellow who shagged his brother's wife, and rightly so. But I actually recently watched it just because it came up in like my YouTube feed. That 4-3 Manchester derby when Mark Hughes was the City manager and Owen scored in the last minute.
Yeah.
Giggs was at the end of his career at that point and he had a stormer. And I remember he kind of changed his position too. I think he may have even played centre mid, which shows good versatility of a player. And he does, and apologies, Finn, he does remain as one of my earliest and strongest football memories. When he scored that goal in the cup against Arsenal, he took his shirt off and he had the hairiest chest I think I've ever seen.
Yeah,
I know. To this day,
it's like fucking Robin Williams or something.
Was he like 18 or something? Jesus Christ!
Well,
I could only dream for hair like that.
Like you, like his brother must be like, like if you could pull your brother's wife with that amount of fur on you, well, fair play.
Flynn, do you think he's whatever it was? What was his legacy?
For large portions of it, no. Well, he's torched his legacy anyway now, to be honest. Like, he has no legacy, but he's been written out of the fucking history books because no one wants to think about him anymore. But at the time, in like the early 2010s, I guess, when he was coming to the end of his career, people were like, he's going to be, he'll go down as Premier League's greatest ever player. And he's not. He never, I mean, obviously now he never gets listed as one of the greatest Premier League players. If you see these like greatest 11s, he's never in them. But at the time, people were like, he's the greatest player. Like, never mind, should be in the 11. He's the greatest player in Premier League history. He was a great player. Not the greatest, but because of his longevity, because he lasted so long, he had like a few great seasons and like then 10 okay seasons, but he was okay enough to keep playing, which is worth something. Yeah. But like longevity isn't that impressive to me, as isn't as impressive as a peak. But you know,
yeah, okay. Just two left. I think he might agree on these two, but anyway,
we have to be quick.
Yeah, we'll be quick. Chelsea are the biggest team in London. Connor,
fuck off.
No,
why not?
I'm not even going to answer this.
No, you have to.
It doesn't deserve a response. Anyone?
Two Champions Leagues?
No.
Yeah. Oh, get away.
Kieran, do you agree with Connor? Or
you fucking rattled off at this one? Yeah, fair play. yeah, absolutely not. No, no way at all. No
so
way
who
at all.
Is?
I'd fucking nearly Spurs would be above them in this day and age. West Ham actually.
West Ham.
Who is? Well, it depends. Like, if you're a Londoner, it depends on what side of the river. Arsenal, north, obviously. Palace, south. I mean, no brainer.
Mm-hmm.
East, West Ham, West. Brentford, probably. Anyway.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Accurate.
Sorry, Chelsea. The last one, and again, I just saw this today, so this is based on recent stuff, but Gareth Bale is the greatest British player of all time.
Of all time.
That was the take. Yeah. Maybe Kieran first?
Not of all time, no. I think he's very harshly treated, and going to Madrid and not being able to leave or not leaving Madrid is a huge mistake for him. But we saw when he plays for Wales, and we saw it recently the other night, how good he can be. So he's a fantastic player, but he's probably not the best British player of all time.
Is he even better than Rooney? And Rooney's not even top five British player.
Yeah.
Even Jordan Henderson's probably.
Yeah. Or Kieran Tierney.
Saka. Yeah.
Andy Robertson.
He's Andy Robertson.
Johnny Evans.
I know. That was a pretty lukewarm take.
Imagine if Madrid had signed Johnny Evans. Jesus. There'd be no beating him.
Well, I mean, they did the equivalent like 20 years ago with Jonathan Woodgate.
Oh, yeah.
So it has been done.
That's it, anyway. I'll keep an eye out for more hot takes for next time.
Wonderful.
I do enjoy them. I actually had a few filler, like, kind of questions prepped. So maybe I'll share them with you, Adrian. You can run them by us next time. Yeah.
Perfect.
Beautiful. Probably brings us to a conclusion.
Wonderful.
May the road race to meet you. Yeah.
Liverpool will have won the league by the next time we record. So,
yeah, it'd be a great day. Great day for true football fans.
We'll all celebrate.
Up
have a drink in hand ready for next time.
Yeah. To Klopp.
Yar.
Oh, good God.
Yeah. All the best.
You've been listening to the Put 'Em Under Pressure podcast. For more of our content, make sure that you follow us on YouTube, Spotify, and Facebook. Outro music.